The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
As you guys are hopping in, let us know where you're joining us from. We want to welcome all of our Facebook audience. We want to welcome all of our podcasters and our YouTube audience. Man, it's been a it's been an extremely crazy and busy past 24 hours. I hope everybody had a somewhat of a good Easter. It was probably, if not the weirdest Easter that we have ever experienced, at least in my lifetime. I told my family at least three times yesterday that it did not seem like Easter because, of course, we didn't go anywhere, didn't have an Easter dinner, didn't go to church. It just didn't seem like Easter at all. And then the icing on the cake came later that day when all those terrible storms came sweeping through and caused a lot of devastation. 18, some sources say more, some say 19 or greater fatalities from the tornadoes and storms just swept through the deep south. It started yesterday afternoon. There was reports from Texas. They got baseball-sized hail, caused a lot of destruction there and damage, a lot of widespread flooding. But reports indicated at least we know 18, 19 or more. This thing keeps updating. This is how this usually goes in these storms. Multiple people have been killed as this severe weather outbreak took place in the deep south, spawning 40, at least 40 tornadoes, destroying homes, businesses, and leaving over a million customers without power. We were trying to break this, even on Easter Sunday, we're trying to break this news when it was coming through. The one that hit in Louisiana, in Monroe, Louisiana, caused a lot of damage there. And then there were some reports of at least two tornadoes that caused a lot of damage that ripped through Mississippi. And then I know for a fact that Alabama got hit. In fact, I spoke to a good friend of mine this morning and found out that it came right up, and he lives in the northeastern section of Alabama, and they had a tornado came right through their backyard, and of course they were praying through the whole night, probably didn't get any sleep. You know how this, you know, you ever notice these things come? They never come in the daylight. I mean, they do, but it seems like, at least where I live, it seems like they always come at night. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 a.m. in the morning, the wee hours of the night, right when you're getting your best sleep, these things decide to come through. And that's, and for many people in Alabama, in Tennessee, anyway, it came through. This is the scenario that played out for them. I spoke to him this morning. Ripped out many of his trees out of his backyard, destroyed his shed, but they were okay. That's what matters. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Nobody was injured, and they're going to make it, and they were fine. Then we lived for about 3 years in Cleveland, Tennessee, and I heard they got hit out there, or I should say down there. They got hit down there. I talked to another individual this morning. He said one of his coworkers actually was, she lived in a trailer park. And listen, this was kind of blew me away. She went to bed last night and woke up. Apparently she had been knocked unconscious. The tornado ripped through her trailer, threw her out of the building around the trailer. She woke up unconscious, or just woke up laying there on the ground, with fragments of the trailer laying on top of her. So thank God she lived, but she went to the hospital. They took her to the hospital, and she's going to be fine. But I mean, I was thinking, could you imagine going to sleep and then the next thing you know, you wake up because you've been knocked out in the process of being thrown from your trailer, from your bed, out into your yard, where you wake up with fragments of your home or your trailer laying on top of you. That would be frightening, to say the least. So we had that, and then that swept through. But now there was a picture that was shared to us, and I had to validate it. I'm going to show you that picture here on our End Time Headlines Facebook page. There was a picture that came out, and I want to show this to you, you guys that are watching here. This was absolutely phenomenal. As you can see this picture right here, this was taken in Alabama. This is when this thing was sweeping through the South, coming up north, sweeping through Alabama. I want to make sure I'm watching this so I can see what you guys are seeing. There's the picture. You can see it there, what you're looking at here. This was taken in Alabama. In fact, this was at Lawler Baptist Church on Highway 78. I want to show you this. Look at this picture. So this storm comes through here, takes down the cross on the left, takes down the cross on the right. But look at this, the middle cross standing in the middle. Now, you say, well, that's pretty interesting. That's interesting in itself that took place and that happened and this was caught on film. But the fact that this happened on Easter Sunday, or I'm sorry, again, we don't want to, just so people don't get their feathers ruffled, Resurrection Sunday. Let's just say that. The day that Protestants, Christians, even, you know, whatever, the believers of the Lord Jesus Christ came together in unison and celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This image circulated in Alabama, giving us the rainbow of hope in the midst of the storm. The fact that it was the center cross is profound, because you remember on Calvary, and I'm going to pull this off. You guys have seen the picture here. On Calvary, Jesus Christ hung on the cross at Golgotha. He hung on the cross in the center cross between a thief on the left and a thief on the right. Remember the stories right there. The one on the left rebuked him and blasphemed him, but the other thief rebuked that thief and said, "Lord, remember me when thou enter into thy kingdom." But it is profound to me that, again, that this happened on the day that we are commemorating or acknowledging the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it was the center cross that remained standing. All right, so all of this happened yesterday. And then, and guys, listen, I'm about to get into the whole, as much as I don't want to talk about it, and it's, I know everybody's going crazy over this, and I'm joking around when I say this, so please, people take you way too serious sometimes, but I said, if the virus doesn't kill everybody, we are going to kill each other in our homes, because how long are we going to be able to deal with being shut up in our homes? You know, so as if the virus is not enough, then we get this news yesterday, which I called, can I say the word crap? I hope nobody gets offended by that, because I could say something way worse, but I'm not. But we use that word all the time, crud, crap, poop, whatever you want to call. But when this story circulated Friday, I said, are you kidding me? Listen to this story. In case you didn't see this, a deadly flu, bird flu, has been discovered in South Carolina in a commercial turkey farm. Reports coming out of South Carolina on Friday indicated that, or actually this, I believe this was on Saturday, have indicated that an infectious and fatal strain of the bird flu has been confirmed in a commercial turkey farm in South Carolina. The report from a local affiliate, News Channel 9, is stating that this is the first case of this serious of a strain of this type of bird flu since 2017. And a worrisome development for an industry that was devastated by previous outbreaks. So here you have a poultry farm that's now being struck. Now, let me read the rest of this. Quote, the high pathogenic case was discovered in an operation in Chesterfield County, South Carolina, making this the first case of the more dangerous strain since one was found and discovered in Tennessee in a chicken flock in 2017. In 2015, an estimated 50 million poultry had to be killed off at operations, mainly in the upper Midwest, after infection spread throughout the region then. Low pathogenic bird flu causes few clinical signs in infected birds. However, the two strains of low pathogenic bird flu, the H5 and H7 strains, listen to this, can mutate into highly pathogenic storms, which are frequently fatal to birds and easily transmittable between susceptible species. Low pathogenic cases were already in an area near South Carolina, North Carolina, and the USDA was closely monitoring and testing. The case in Chesterfield County, South Carolina, was expected, now listen to this, they expected it to be another low pathogenic case. In other words, they were expecting it this to be not much of a threat, and this wouldn't be something that would be worrisome or be concerning. However, the test came back from the laboratory as a high pathogenic, which means that the less severe virus has mutated into a more severe version. Now, in case you were wondering why I hope that you were not going to be offended by the word crap, is because with all the coronavirus that we're dealing with, and by the way, we're going to talk about that in a second. I'm going to show you why it's frustrating and why it makes you want to pull your hair out. If we ain't got enough to deal with that, we just got a crap sandwich with this without the bread, to say the least. So now we got to worry about this coming up. And we got to keep our eyes on this. And listen, biblically, remember, Jesus said in Luke 21, Matthew 24, there would be pestilences. Somebody say pestilences, not pestilence, but plural tense. So if you want proof of the Bible, there you go. You've got COVID-19. Now you've got a high pathogenic, severe case of this mutated bird flu that's been found and discovered not in China, in South Carolina, that we got to monitor this. So you got all this stuff going on. So then, if that's not enough to deal with, you've got the strain, the stress, the pressure of all the talking heads and the conflicting reports and the stories and the suggestions. We should do this. We should do that. Well, it's only going to last a couple weeks. It's only going to be a month. Well, listen, my friends, I don't know. Maybe I'm speaking for myself, and maybe I'm speaking for a friend's group of people here, but people are starting to lose their patience. People are starting to lose their minds. People are starting to lose their grip on reality on this. We did okay the first week. Most people did okay the second week, but I'm starting to see people becoming unglued a little bit unhinged on the third week. And I'm not just talking about Americans, and I'm not just talking about citizens, and I'm not just talking about mothers and fathers, and I'm not talking about school teachers that are forced to teach from the inside of their homes because they can't go to their work, or people that are forced to stay at home and they are blessed to be able to work from home. But then you got all the blue collar workers that can't stay at home, and they can't be at home, and they can't stay there and work. So you got a lot of stuff going on. And this is why we're seeing a push for like what we're seeing coming out of Texas. Republican governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, came out and said that he is planning to allow businesses to reopen with an executive order that would lift the coronavirus lockdown in a, quote, safe way. So here's the governor of Texas that is speaking the mind of a lot of people that I personally have spoken to. Even you go on Facebook, you go on Twitter, you go on Instagram, you go on Reddit, you go on YouTube, you go anywhere there's social media and there's people that will respond. And the general consensus of what people are saying is that they're beginning to echo what President Donald Trump said a couple of weeks ago. And he says, we cannot let the effects of this virus be more deadly than the virus itself. And again, I'm only proposing the question, how long can the economy remain shut down? We're already seeing social unrest. We're already seeing draconian measures beginning to take place. Did you guys see this story out of Philadelphia? I know many of you guys have seen this story that came out of Philadelphia, where a passenger who did not have on a mask got into a bus in Philadelphia and was left humiliated and angry, and because he was filmed being drug out of the bus by force by police because he was not wearing a mask. And by the way, the driver of the bus was not wearing a mask. He had been ordered to leave the bus on Friday, and he refused to do so. Why did this happen? Because apparently a rule had been put up as an enforceable suggestion on the SEPTA website the night before, leaving most of the passengers completely unaware. Hello? If you're going to make an announcement, at least let everybody make sure that you know of it. But this video circulated all over the internet, Facebook, YouTube, and you could see, you can go and watch the video. He was being drugged off of the bus. Yes, we can't let the cure be worse than the virus. That's what Trump said. And so we're seeing the animosity and the civil unrest, the turmoil, the anxiety rising up. And then you have these crazy articles. You have these, this just came out. The 4th of July is still 3 months away. We're in April. We're 3 months out to our Independence Day, 4th of July. But events associated with the federal holiday are already being canceled due to the coronavirus pandemonium. I mean pandemic. Already being canceled. In the past 10 days, at least a half a dozen Independence Day events have been scrapped across the nation. In California, North Carolina, New York, all of these are ditching 4th of July celebrations. Again, 3 months out. 3 months out. And the Trump administration has already said that they are going to see how things go. And they're considering reopening things the first week of May. I just showed you Texas Governor Greg Abbott said If he has to, he'll sign an executive order that we got to turn the switch back on. The switch has got to be turned back on. And then you've got this, I don't know if you guys have seen this, but I've seen three separate sources and they have all echoed the same thing. And they're all saying they're pushing for this 18-month window. 18 months? Are you kidding me? People are losing their minds after 3 weeks and you're talking 18 months. Now, this is from the United Kingdom. A top medic from the United Kingdom has come out indicating that life may not return to normal until a cure for COVID-19 is found. According to the report from The Mirror, that's a UK affiliate, the NHS England medical director was asked if some restrictions might still be needed 18 months from now. And he went on to state that, quote, this was never going to be a sprint of a few weeks and it's going to be a marathon. Well, again, China, which was the epicenter of this thing, shut everything down and they've turned the switch back on. Now, granted, life is not the same. People are still walking around with masks. And I don't know if you saw this, but even the police officers now have those special helmets on that can they pick up heat sensors of the body. So all these draconian measures, listen, you got to listen to what I'm telling you right here. All these draconian measures that they implemented during the shutdown, one of the residents there was asked, are they still implementing them? The answer is yes. They're still, the government of China is still using Google. They're still using other social media outlets and they're collaborating with them. Remember, this is the country that has a social rating score. Remember that? They're rating their citizens. And if you fit the PAR, you meet the PAR, you meet the standards, and you be a good little citizen of China, then you will get a good scoring system and you will be able to function in society in normal. You guys on podcast can't see me, but here comes the air quotes. You can function normally in society. But if you buck against the system and you have an opposing opinion and you don't agree with how it's run, then you're going to get a negative scoring system. All these, the technology that's been implemented to do that, to carry this out, what do you think they're using in this and during this lockdown? So yes, Wuhan's open. Beijing is open back up. Hubei has opened back up. They've opened back up. But if you think for a moment that life is the same as it was for the lockdown, you need to speak to individuals that live there that are in ground zero. But the point is, they were shut down for 2 months and they started opening back up. But you got these people like this that are saying 18 months. There was another article that said without an effective therapy or a vaccine, this was from MSN. This is basically just echoing what they said in the United Kingdom. Quote, without an effective therapy or vaccine for the virus, the U.S. economy could face, listen to this, here it is, 18 months of rolling shutdowns. As the outbreak recedes and flares up again. This was according to a Federal Reserve Bank of Minneapolis president. Quote, we're looking around the world as they relax the economic controls, the virus flares back up again. Quote, we could have these waves of flare-ups, controls, flare-ups, and controls until we actually get a therapy or a vaccine. I think, not that he's an expert in infectious disease, but he says, I think we should all be focusing, and that seems like that's what we're doing, on an 18-month strategy, not 3 months, not 2 months, not 2 weeks, not opening back up in May, not opening back up in possibly June or even July after July 4th. No, 18-month strategy. Then we had Dr. Fauci in an interview. I want to pull this up for you guys. You won't be able to see this, but I want you to hear this real quick. In an interview he had with Jake Tapper of CNN News, he was asked the question whether or not it will be safe to physically vote at the polls in November. I want you to hear this.
Do you think it will be safe in November for voters to physically go to vote at the poll?
I hope so, Jake. I can't guarantee it. I believe that if we have a good measured way of rolling into this steps towards normality, that we hope by the time we get to November, that we'll be able to do it in a way which is the standard way. However, and I don't want to be the pessimistic person, there is always a possibility as that as we get into next fall and the beginning of early winter, that we could see a rebound.
Here we go. So again, it's the consistency of the, well, we could be, should be, ought to be. You know what? Here's what blows my mind. It's safe, and you guys, I'm going to get back on my soapbox on this again. It's safe to go to Walmart where there's 1,000 people in the parking lot, 1,000 people shopping inside. Go to Sam's, go to Costco's, go to Lowe's, go to Home Depot. You can get 40 bags of mulch at Home Depot, elbow to elbow in the gardening center, and load up your truck with 40 bags of mulch. And we know that's an essential. That's an essential. We got to have that. And you can load up your truck and go home and do that. But apparently it would be absolutely unsafe to have people 6 to 12 feet apart from each other, wearing gloves, wearing a mask, abiding by all the CDC guidelines to actually vote. That would be, and that's 7 months out. 7 months out. Now, again, if you think that this is not affecting the economy. Listen to this. I'm not going to pull up the video on this because we have some issues on this, but I want you to hear, this was from Inside Edition. Listen to this clip. This is in America. This is not a third world country. This is not somewhere out there where missionaries are trying to feed the poor and feed the homeless and feed those who are in poverty. This is in the United States of America.
Nearly 17 million people are out of work, and those government assistance checks haven't arrived yet. And thousands of people are now struggling to put food on their table. And food banks around the country are also struggling to meet the unprecedented need.
It's an extraordinary time in American history, and this is just the latest example. A sea of cars jammed into a parking lot in San Antonio. More than 10,000 families waiting their turn at a local food bank. The groceries are supposed to last through the month. Similar scenes are taking place in cities across the country. In Pittsburgh, the line of motorists stretches more than a mile. At this food bank in Englewood, California, the line of cars is nonstop. Volunteer Chris Castro shows us what's inside the food box each family takes home.
Every car that comes up today will receive one of these boxes. It's 36 pounds of non-perishable food with the various items. We have mashed potatoes here. We have rice, a few bags of rice. We have some split peas, a few bags of these as well. And we have canned goods. We have a whole frozen chicken for every family that comes in, and we also have a bag of produce, so it's oranges here for today.
Luz Nunez, a mother of four, lost her job as a hotel housekeeper last month.
Yeah, it means a lot. It means that I have something on the table for my kids.
For most of these people, it's the first time they've ever had to rely on donated food.
Thank you. Be safe.
Some are resorting to selling face masks on the street just to make extra cash during the crisis, like this mom and son profiled in the LA Times. A stark reminder of how far the economy has fallen in just a few weeks.
So again, guys, that's this is very disturbing. We pulled up an article, and I want to pull this up. I thought I had this pulled up, but there was a warning coming from the nation's leading meat processing company. I don't know if you guys saw that on our main website, End Time Headlines. The coronavirus has struck many of the workers there, and they've actually had to shut down their largest distribution center. And this is huge, guys. So again, you know, we may not see the effects of this now, but we're starting to see, the main part of this we're not seeing yet. We're seeing the ripple effects. But I'm telling you, there is a big, and I hate to use this term, but this tidal wave is coming. If we don't turn the switch back on, listen, I'm not an expert in infectious disease, and I don't claim to be, but I'm telling you guys, it's just a fact. If we don't turn the switch on soon, things are going to get ugly. And we're not talking about just the economy, but we're talking about unrest and everything. Let's close this segment. And let's talk about this for a second in our last bit of this segment. Have you guys seen what's going on with the churches in Greenville, Mississippi? I'm telling you, a SWAT team showed up at this church where a pastor was having drive-up church. They were not in the church. They were in their vehicles. And we got a little bit of audio clip on that. But they drove up. Now, you guys on YouTube, we'll probably edit this and put the video up. But you guys on podcast and Facebook, we'll just have the audio for this. But here's a pastor, and he talks about what happened. Listen to this. Check this out. Again, this is in Greenville, Mississippi. And again, this is not a physical church. They're not gathering together in the sanctuary. This is a drive-up church in the parking lot. Windows rolled up. No different than Walmart, no different than Home Depot, and this is the result of this.
Look at this, y'all. City of Greenville on a church property. They got more police here than they do on a corner of Nelson Street. This in Greenville. They got more people at King James Bible Baptist Church, and they do Nelson Street, Kayla Street, Carver Circle. I'm a pastor of a local New Testament church. Look at all the police cars. They had a church. Look at this, y'all. All these they heard through the grapevine we're having service at 6:30. And there's more police cars at a church service. Yes, this is King James Bible Baptist Church where Pastor Hamilton, where I'm the pastor of the church at. I'm a good citizen. Ain't breaking no law, ain't selling no drugs. I'm just preaching the word of God. And look at all these police cars here. I mean, our service don't start until 6:30. This is America, private property of a church. Look at this, y'all. It's more police pulling up. They ain't done. Yes, sir. I got a letter from my lawyer too. You want to read my letter from my lawyer? Okay, I'm good. I don't need. I got that. I know about it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So if there is a
We're gonna get tickets.
We'll issue citations.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I'd like to give you a formal warning.
Before. Yes, sir.
And we'll allow if you do have members come, we will allow them to leave before they're cited.
Yes, sir.
If they decide not to, is when they will be
disciplined. Yes, sir. Hey, I love authority.
Well, you get an order from the government.
Yeah.
Your rights are suspended.
No, the government. Our right don't come from authority. It comes from the Bible. So the authority does not have the right over the Constitution. We're talking the Constitutional law, the First, Second Amendment, the U.S. Constitution that was given to us by our forefather. Tate Reed can't take it away. Mayor Eric Simmons can't take it away, nor the police officer.
It can be suspended.
It can't.
Not a military.
No, it can't. Hey, look at this, y'all. I'm a good citizen here. I don't sell drugs. Look at the police. I'm as a pastor. I got police officers here, y'all. Like I'm committing, like I'm robbing or I kill somebody. This what you? They don't have this when a murder is in Greenville, y'all. They don't have this type of traffic when people commit murder.
Okay, guys. So again, so that happened in Greenville, Mississippi, and then on Friday, in the great state of Kentucky. That's where I was born. Kentucky, Louisville, Kentucky. We had the governor, Andy Beshear, who gave a warning to any churches in the state of Kentucky that would participate in normal services. Because there's churches, I know in Bullitt County, Kentucky, there was one church I know of for a fact that continued to have service regardless. And he made a dire warning
that there are some individuals that say this is my choice about whether I go to something and get the coronavirus. But it's not the next person's choice that you might spread it to, having gone to a gathering, getting it, and then going out, whether it's to work or to a grocery store or somewhere else. So we're having to take a new action that I hoped that we wouldn't. It's that any individual that's going to participate in a mass gathering of any type that we know about this weekend, we are going to record license plates and provide it to local health departments. The local health departments are going to come to your door with an order for you to be quarantined for 14 days. That if you're going to expose yourself to this virus and you make that decision to do it, it's not fair to everybody else out there that you might spread it to. This is just an example of personal responsibility. And we're going to make sure that those that are going get notice that this will happen, that if they're going to participate in the mass gathering, it's 14 days self-quarantined at their home. Somebody makes that decision, okay, but understand that this is the only way that we can ensure that your decision doesn't kill somebody else.
All right, so that was the warning. That was the grim warning from the governor, Andy Beshear of Kentucky. That was on Friday. Then we had a church in Louisville, Kentucky. I personally know the pastor, Pastor Chuck Salvo, On Fire Christian Center in Louisville, Kentucky. He was threatened by the mayor, Greg Fisher. And it was over a drive-in church. Again, cars 6 feet apart, windows rolled up, nobody getting out of the vehicles. No different than Walmart. Lowe's. Actually, it's worse because they're not 6 feet apart there. They're right up on top of each other and the people's getting out and the people are in the stores. But this is what they were going to do for Easter Sunday. And the mayor, Greg Fisher, stepped in and said, no, you will not. So Pastor Chuck Salvo actually filed a lawsuit against Mayor Greg Fisher. And then we gave the update. A federal judge actually stepped in and rebuked the Louisville mayor and his directive for churches to forego drive-in services on Easter Sunday, calling the move overbroad and unconstitutional. So, guys, I'm telling you, things are moving and shaking. Things are happening. He went on to say that, quote, on Holy Thursday, an American mayor criminalized the communal celebration of Easter. This was according to District Judge Justin Walker. So even this judge stepped in and said, no, you're not going to ban the services. And they were allowed to to have the services. But we want to give you an update before we close this segment. Remember, we told you Governor Beshear warned what he warned on Friday, that police would take pictures of your license plate. By the way, I want to show you this. Let me bring this up real quick. I'm going to pull up a different picture here. Just bear with me for a second, guys. Again, this is all new to me. I'm getting it down. It takes a few seconds to bring this up. I want to show you, this is an actual picture of the notice that police officers were putting on vehicles in the parking lot of any church. This was in, this was placed on the parking lot of any church that was having a gathering. In other words, if they were gathering in the sanctuary, not the drive-in, but in the sanctuary, they would come out to their vehicle and they would find this notification on their vehicle. And it says, quote, "This vehicle's presence at this location indicates that its occupants are present at a mass gathering prohibited by orders of the governor and the cabinet for health and family services. As a result, this vehicle's occupants and anyone they come into contact with are, quote, at risk of contracting COVID-19, a respiratory illness that can be severe and lead to death, particularly for older adults and those with underlying heart, lung, kidney, and immunity issues," quote. Where, and you can see all that right there that you're looking at, you guys that are physically able to see this, where people congregate unnecessarily or fail to follow adequate social distancing practices. They're spreading COVID-19, creating scenes of an emergency. This vehicle, and it's, this is all bold here, you can see this. "This vehicle's license plate number has been recorded. Employees of the local health department will be contacting those associated with this vehicle with self-quarantine documents." And in other words, they're coming knocking. That's not the Girl Scouts. That's not the mailman. That's not Amazon. That's going to be your local health department in Kentucky. Including, they will come. Let me read this again. "Employees of the local health department will be contacting those associated with the vehicle with self-quarantine documents, including agreement requiring this vehicle's occupants and anyone in the household to self-quarantine for 14 days. Failure to sign or comply with the agreement may result in further enforcement measures." This is not fake news. This is not a fabricated story. This is real life in Kentucky. And by the way, this happened. This happened in a church, according to local affiliate WHAS 11, shortly after the service started at a Maryville Baptist Church in Kentucky. State police troopers began to put these notices on people's cars saying their license plate had been recorded, and that employees of the local health department will be contacting those associated with this vehicle. Again, we just read that all to you, what we just read to you. So that's what's going on, guys. This is absolutely crazy. This is the United States of America. What's going to happen if this thing goes on till July, I don't even want to say 18 months. That's absolutely ludicrous to think about that. There is chatter, and I'm getting ready to close this segment out right here. There's chatter right now, and I know you guys can probably already seen this, but there is rumors and chatter that President Donald Trump could possibly fire Dr. Anthony Fauci. In fact, he retweeted the idea. Trump retweeted someone else who said that it's time for him to be fired, and Trump actually retweeted it. So things are starting. It's going to be real interesting. That's all I'm going to say. It's going to get real interesting. That's what we got for you today on today's segment. Today, again, it's Monday. It's the day after Easter. People are cleaning up from tornado damage. People's lives have been ruined, reckoned. Disaster swept through on Easter Sunday. We've got draconian measures still going out. We got a lot of crazy stuff, guys. It's going to be a long week, and it's only Monday. So endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. You guys can follow us there. You're going to see the under the description of Facebook Live, you're going to see the link. You can go to our main website there. It's going to be provided. You can follow us there. Get our you can subscribe to our daily digest. It'll come in your box once a day, one time, come to your box. You can listen, you can subscribe to, or you can download, I'm sorry, our free app. It's on it's on Apple and it's on Android and it's free. It's absolutely free. And you go there, download that app so you can keep up with this. You'll get push notifications for breaking news, everything that's going. You'll get these podcasts. You'll get informed of all these things and what's going on. So we want to encourage you to do that. If you'd like to sow into this ministry, give a one-time gift, an offering, a partnership, whatever you feel in your heart to do that. If you want to do that, we want to encourage you to do that. And you can do that at endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. You guys on Facebook Live, again, the link is there. Click on the link. It's going to take you to our main website. You guys on podcasts and everywhere that you're listening to this or watching this, there's going to be places you can click and join and follow, and you can see the how to sow into this ministry either by electronically giving or by physical mailing, our physical mailing address by check or money order. Now, guys, tomorrow we are going to continue our series on the rise of the beast of Revelation 13. Last week we did the rise of the Antichrist. We did a whole segment on the Antichrist. You need to go back. We talked about his identity, where he's most likely coming out of, what he will do, his intentions, his motives, et cetera, all that is in our last segment. Tomorrow we're going to come back on here and we're going to do a segment on the rise of the second beast, which is the false prophet of Revelation chapter 13. So you don't want to miss that. So if you enjoy these segments and you enjoy eschatology or the study of end times, go watch this. We'll go live. We should have pictures and everything come up with this, and it'll be a full illustrated message. So we're looking forward to getting into that tomorrow. So we love you guys. God bless you again. Thank you for tuning in today. We'll be back on here tomorrow, and we'll continue our message on out of Revelation 13. God bless.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.